This is The Rounds Table.
Welcome back, Roundtable listeners. Thanks again for tuning in. I'm Jonathan Gravel, epidemiologist, family resident, and soon-to-be emergency medicine resident, and one of your now permanent co-hosts. I'm happy to introduce my co-host today, Max Deschner. Max is a resident in internal medicine from Western University. Max, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, John. Excited to be able to join you today in parsing some science.
Okay, let's dive right in here, Max. What article are you going to be telling us about today?
So I'll be sharing the article Coronary Angiography After Cardiac Arrest Without ST Segment Elevation, also known as the COAC trial. It was published in the New England Journal of Medicine in April 2019.
Great, Max. Before we get to the bottom line here, any disclosures or conflicts from the authors or yourself?
Nothing for myself. The COAC trial was funded by AstraZeneca, Biotronic, a German biomedical technology company, and the Netherlands Heart Institute. The authors note that these groups were not involved in trial design or monitoring, nor selection of participating centers, study subject enrollment, or data analysis.
Great, thanks. What's the bottom line here?
So COACT concludes that delayed angiography does not compromise survival at 90 days in comatose patients who are successfully resuscitated after out-of-hospital cardiac arrest without signs of STEMI. COACT was a prospective multicenter open-label trial that randomized 552 comatose patients who presented to the ED after return of spontaneous circulation following out-of-hospital cardiac arrest, without signs of STEMI and no obvious non-cardiac cause. And they were randomized to either a strategy of immediate coronary angiography versus coronary angiography delayed until after neurologic recovery. Everyone received PCI if it was indicated. And so 64.5% of patients in the immediate angiography group and 67.2% of those in the delayed group were alive at 90 days.
Very interesting. Lots to unpack there. Tell me, why'd you choose this article?
So for some background, ischemic heart disease is ubiquitous in Canada. In 2012, 1 in 12 Canadians over age 20 were living with ischemic heart disease, which is huge. And as one of the primary causes of out-of-hospital cardiac arrest, ischemic heart disease is also obviously a leading cause of death in Canada. Patients with out-of-hospital cardiac arrest undergo complex treatment entailing targeted temperature management, hemodynamic support, EEG monitoring, and of course, consideration of coronary angiography. And back in the 1990s and early 2000s, primary coronary intervention, or PCI, revolutionized the care of patients with myocardial infarction as the underlying etiology of their cardiac arrest. Studies in the early 90s helped pave a new path in management using PCI over thrombolysis. But that said, many outcomes post-cardiac arrest still remain suboptimal in a lot of cases, with many people dying before discharge and many having long-term neurological and cardiac consequences. I'd say we have good evidence that immediate PCI in patients with STEMI improves mortality, and thus this is obviously the standard of care. And this brings to mind that classic STEMI management scene in all those heart and stroke life support videos that we've probably all watched at one point or another. But what about when there is no STEMI, no ST elevation, in an arrest that could have a number of different cardiac etiologies? Beyond STEMI, we don't really have a great idea of who should be cathed, and cardiologists have actually been scratching their heads about this one for some time.
Great, Max. Thanks for that summary. A number of landmark trials have looked at similar questions, albeit in different patient populations. How does COACT fit into the greater picture here?
You're absolutely right. Several randomized control trials have looked at timing of angiography in patients with ACS who don't have cardiac arrest nor STEMI. Studies like FRISC2 and TACTICS TIMI18 demonstrated benefit of early angiography in high-risk patients with unstable angina and NSTEMI. But while these trials demonstrated the potential value of early intervention, particularly in unstable angina and NSTEMI, we didn't really have a good sense of what early meant. More recently, the 2009 TIMAX trial only revealed a reduction in the primary composite outcome of death, MI, or stroke at 6 months in high-risk unstable angina or NSTEMI patients who underwent early versus delayed coronary angiography. Roughly two-thirds of TIMAX patients were not high-risk, and so the vast majority didn't actually need early intervention. And so all of this said, I wanted to highlight COACT, our study today, as it is some of the first randomized evidence to support delaying angiography in patients surviving out-of-hospital cardiac arrest who do not have ST elevation. The authors of COACT actually hypothesized that immediate angiography would decrease the time to PCI in indicated patients and therefore potentially save more myocardium. Previous observational data actually suggested that early catheterization might benefit patients after cardiac arrest without ST elevation. So on the surface, at least, COAC looks to give us a little more ground to stand on in terms of feeling empowered to both focus on post-resuscitative measures like targeted temperature management and watchful waiting, rather than rushing certain patients to the angio suite to undergo angiography and PCI. And I'd say perhaps there are some sleep benefits hidden in there too for our friendly neighborhood cardiologists. As we'll see though, out-of-hospital cardiac arrest is quite different from a STEMI, and not everything that arrests is caused by coronary artery disease.
Awesome. Eloquently said, Max. Let's get into the grit here. Tell me about the study design.
So as mentioned, John, COACT was a randomized, open-label, multi-center trial involving 19 Dutch hospitals. The study randomized 552 patients in a one-to-one manner to either immediate or delayed angiography. 280 patients were allocated to immediate and 272 patients to delayed. So basically, the patient would present to the ED after out-of-hospital cardiac arrest with return of spontaneous circulation, or ROSC, and without signs of STEMI or a non-cardiac cause of their arrest. Quite a mouthful. They would be randomized to either immediate angiography and possibly PCI, which was done as soon as possible, or they would be randomized to delayed angiography, which generally occurred after neurologic recovery and tended to be following the discharge from the ICU. All things considered, those who were randomized were actually fairly stable. This was an intention to treat analysis, meaning that if you get randomized, you get analyzed. And in COACT, this would theoretically help avoid misleading artifacts that arose due to things like crossover of participants from immediate to delayed angiography, mainly due to things like suspected subarachnoid bleed or epidural bleeding, for instance. Coronary angiography and PCI were performed based on local standards. But that said, they all included all unstable coronary lesions, defined as over 70% stenosis and the presence of characteristics of plaque disruption, things like lesion irregularity, dissection, haziness, or thrombus. All patients received a heparin loading dose or bivalirudin, aspirin, and a P2Y12 inhibitor before PCI. In the case of multivessel disease, they calculated the syntax score to help guide between PCI or CABG. And if CABG was determined to be the treatment of choice for a patient in the immediate invasive group, it was actually delayed until after neurologic recovery. Finally, in patients randomized to the delayed group, any signs of cardiogenic shock, recurrent life-threatening arrhythmias, or recurrent ischemia meant they underwent urgent angiography.
Great, straightforward design. Apart from the primary outcome of survival at 90 days, what else did they look at?
The key secondary outcome was survival with good cerebral performance, with either mild deficits or moderate cerebral disability at 90 days. And they define this as a cerebral performance category scale of 1 to 2. Moderate disability meant the patient could still carry out independent activities of daily living. There were a number of other secondary outcomes, including survival until hospital discharge,